Welcome to In My Downtown, a brand new podcast sponsored by the Michigan Downtown Association, intended to feature stories about projects and programs that are happening throughout all of Michigan's downtowns. My name is Annette Knowles. I am the Downtown Economic Development Coordinator for the City of Monroe. I also am a board member of the Michigan Downtown Association. And it is my privilege to host this very first episode of In My Downtown, and along with my friend Mackenzie Swanson, who is a business owner in downtown Monroe. She owns the Serendipitous Vintage and Art Vintage Shop and Art Gallery. So Mackenzie's here today to kind of help push me along and make sure that our information that we're sharing with you today goes smoothly and flows, right? I guess so. Thank you for being my spotter today in the podcast. And for our first episode, the discussion is going to center around public art. What is public art, and how your community can create its own plan to improve public art in the community?
Thank you so much for having me, Annette, and what an awesome topic. Yeah. I'm glad that you picked this for your first podcast, and I'm glad to be part of it. And I think that I have a little bit of knowledge on art and communities after owning Serendipitous Vintage and Art Gallery in downtown Monroe, Michigan for the last 6 years. But I know every time you and I have a conversation, I walk away with more knowledge. And I think that's what our listeners will grab from this today.
Yeah, thanks. So to start the conversation off today, what I wanted to talk about a little bit is defining what is public art.
Absolutely. Because I think you can say that and people kind of nod their head. But yeah, let's define what is public art.
What is public art? So to me, public art is it's located in a public purview. So private art to me is it's hidden in your home, it's hidden in a gallery. Public art to me is something that's visible, wherever visible to any guests in that community or people who are, you know, pedestrians and walking around, but it's something that would be free and accessible to anyone in the community. And I think the other feature about public art that's really important to mention is that it helps differentiate and kind of define what the values in that particular community are. So it's in many instances kind of reflective about the character of the community and what that community finds of value. What's important to that community.
And you've done quite a bit of work with downtowns, with the cities. Correct?
I have done some work with some cities over 20-something plus years of working for downtowns. Yes. Yeah.
And so would you say that this is a large part of what makes a city?
You know, I think that the existence or the prevalence of public art has only become more pronounced within the last, I want to say, decade or 15 years, as we've started to focus more on the placemaking tactics about communities, because we know that communities that are interesting, that have things to look at, that have something that catches your eye, tend to be places that people want to be more so than places that are sterile and don't have anything interesting. And so this, I'm not going to call it really a fascination, but this interest with public art has really erupted as we are paying more attention to the quality of what our places look like and what kind of experience we have with them and what kind of emotional connection we have with them. And isn't it great that public art meets all of those things? So whether it's sculpture in your communities or murals in your communities, those tend to be the most visible kinds of public art that we see. But there are other kinds of public art. And a lot of it is things that are just emerging. If you have electrical panels in your downtown, people are now wrapping them with, creative wraps, and that's art. It's taking a plain surface and putting something on it that is going to stir some discussion.
It makes me think, like, and I haven't had to make like a page on a computer or something like that, or like a website, and you have all the layers. So you're just adding more. I mean, it's decorative, but when you make like a website, it's several different pages to make, you know, just one little thing stick out. But like you said, like the wrap around the electrical thing.
Yeah.
And then they might think of one other thing, you know, something to set them aside, correct?
Right. So we see art now in things like gateways into the community. So when you're acknowledging I'm entering this community or I'm entering this downtown, there might be some kind of artistic representation in those particular amenities that define that entry point. We see public art now being installed in transit centers or on wayfinding signage where there's iconic imagery included in those in those amenities that are installed around towns. And those are physical representations of art, but there's also the performance style of art. So while it's not a thing, there is other forms of art. So we see a lot, and you know, the music series that people put on tends to be something that comes to mind as an opportunity to have that in-person experience with public art.
I think of buskers. Do you know what a busker is?
I know what a busker is.
I think you taught me what a busker is. I think that's possible.
Yes. So that sidewalk entertainment that you see.
Sure.
But it can also be storytelling. So there can be busking in the form of corner storytellers. There can be public dance going on. I've seen the rhythmic gymnasts with all of their ribbons that have been dancing around these public spaces, and all of those, that's an artistic formation of representation of art.
Do most cities allow them? Because I want to say some city ordinances are kind of funky about it, but I still see people doing it, and I definitely promote it.
Yeah.
You know, if you're doing something like that, I mean, I'm used to being in different cities. I didn't even live in Michigan my whole life, but I lived in St. Petersburg, Florida, and I mean, huge art scene, very different, you know, from here. But, you know, there are places I've gone around here that remind me, of that.
I think it's kind of across the board. Some communities are more formalized and have permits for the buskers. Other communities are more free form and people just show up. And I happen to think that those kind of things happen because there hasn't been a preponderance of it in the past. I mean, let's face it, local governments we want to regulate things when there's a need to regulate it. And
sure.
So when they start getting to it, what some people experience is too many or too controversial, then that's when they institute rules.
But
I kind of like the rule-less approach initially.
Sure.
Other kinds of art that we might see would be in our street furniture. So the waste cans that have metal art.
Benches. You think of benches?
All kinds of things like that.
You know, I want to say that our city, Monroe, and I sit on a board here, we were voting for, it was bicycle racks. And I had no idea, something I would never even have thought if I hadn't sat on this board, that there were so many different styles of bicycle racks that might set your town aside from other towns. Like, they have a bicycle that you actually put your bicycle onto or something like that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So in a lot of instances, what we like to see is using the imagery from your community on amenities like that. It helps solidify your branding.
Yes.
But it also makes something unique in that community that you can then say isn't represented anywhere else. This is something that will set you apart.
Okay.
Really the focus of the podcast today, although we did want to talk and set the stage for what public art is, a lot of communities would like to introduce more public art into the community, but just don't know where to get started. And I happen to have the fortune of being involved in a project when I was employed by the city of Farmington in their Downtown Development Authority, where in the downtown master plan, there was a tactic that was called out that said, let's improve public art in the community.
Yeah.
But it was really undefined. And we needed a better answer for what public art would mean to Farmington.
Sure.
So with the support of Main Street Oakland County and an organization called The Creative Many, we put together what we called the Public Art Blueprint. And although we had professional support to help us produce this plan, I think following the same steps, any community could create its own plan for public art.
Okay.
So what we did was we involved a steering team from a number of different stakeholders, but each member contributed some knowledge or experience dealing with public art in the community. So some of the types of organizations that we had involved would have been someone from our DDA, obviously, someone from the city council. That helps the communication end of it. But we had someone from the historic district. We had someone from our planning commission. Within Farmington and Farmington Hills, there's a very strong cultural arts department, so they were involved. The Arts Commission, a separate organization of like-minded artistic people.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was wondering, if that helps. You know, you got a lot of people on board to do the same thing.
The more people, it's perspectives, but they help you perhaps see things from a different, you know, I came into it with different ideas or notions about what I would have liked to see with art, but the thing to me was getting everyone else's ideas and harnessing that energy. I mean, it was really an energetic group.
It had to be.
In my experience, never felt as much excitement for a project than this particular one when I was in Farmington. But our process was really just three steps. Step one was doing some goal setting, and we did a walking audit, and we did a brainstorming session all in one day. So we met, we said, what are the goals for art in the community, but what are our goals for this project?
Okay.
So we wanted to be really narrow and specific so we didn't go off on all kinds of tangents. Following that, we all as a group just went out and walked around town. And what we were looking for was, where is art represented in the community already?
Mm-hmm.
And then where did we see those blank spaces that would be opportunities to install art in the future?
Okay.
So that was step one.
Of the blueprint. Which I think is brilliant, by the way. I just have to say, I think that's, you know, to give people something that they can work on, because I think a lot of people just don't know where to start.
Yeah.
So this is your first step. So, yeah, what's the second step?
Yeah. If I can add on to that while the thought's in my brain.
Please
do. I think the other thing about creating a blueprint is that it transcends individuals.
Sure.
So a plan was produced, but if none of the people involved in putting the plan were present, that plan could still be implemented by other people.
Okay.
And that's the fantastic thing.
These
kind of things, it wasn't Annette's plan, it's mm-hmm. a community's plan. So,
sure. And it worked.
And it works.
Well, you know.
Hopefully we'll find that out soon enough.
Yeah.
So stage two in our plan process was a discussion and then a prioritization exercise. So once we did that walking audit and we did that brainstorming, there was 100 ideas, and we needed to kind of narrow that focus down. And so we had our steering team meet and do some put the dots on the top five projects that you think would have the most impact or be the most impactful in the community. So that was like another session where it was several hours worth of work to review and say, we think this will work in the community, and this is why. Here's the spaces where we think art needs to go, and here's why. These are the places that can absorb or be, you know, good places for a mural. This can be a good place for other types of art. So we did that as step two. Step three was our citizen engagement. So no plan has credibility unless you involve multiple stakeholders in the development of that plan. So we did two tactics for citizen engagement. One was just an online survey where we asked questions about art, people's perceptions of art, and where they thought that the priority should be for art. And then we also did a kind of an in-person meeting. So it was more of an open house where we had our ideas splashed up on, you know, boards where people could make comments about them and also help us decide where to start or okay. what the top 10 would be, because we wanted to make sure going into this that the plan would be implementable as well.
Sure.
And so what was going to create the most energy and excitement in the community?
Because everyone has ideas. I mean, I've been on some different things like that. And yeah, everyone has ideas, but you really do have to narrow it down. And by you being able to, you know, yeah, kind of hone in on what, you know, let's scrape the cream off the top, I guess, you know.
Right.
And take what's going to be best.
Ideas rose to
sure.
the top. Yep.
Sure.
So to finalize everything then, all of this information was distilled down into a report. You can read the report, but the best thing that could be produced out of this was the visual. And so there was a brochure that was created that centered on a map of the downtown district and identified the top, I believe it was the top 10 avenues or opportunities to help instill or create a more creative culture in the downtown, and identified on that map where those places were. There wasn't any one specific plan for a specific piece of art to be commissioned. This was all very high level. Here's a map of the community, and here's where the types of art we'd like to see incorporated could go. Because okay. the idea wasn't to come out of there with a specific project. It was to come out with a plan about how to improve the presence of art in the community. And so that blueprint, the final step was the creation of this trifold brochure, very colorful, that incorporated all of those ideas into it. So again, it was a very quick process between formation and completion. I want to say it was maybe 5 or 6 months worth of work, but the intense part was probably the three meetings that we had, which were all separated by about a month. So a community that wanted to create its own plan for public art could do so. One, you'd probably need someone to act as a facilitator to help channel and keep a focus on the group.
Okay.
Because ultimately, your 100 ideas are all great 100 ideas, but you have to get it down to something that is achievable, right?
Sure.
So get somebody who within the community who can be a good facilitator, get the people who need to be at the table to the table, and then follow this simple process, which is create some goals for your plan, assess what you have, brainstorm ideas, distill those ideas down, and then finalize it and put it in a format that is going to be something that will help the community understand what you're trying to achieve. And that's really the results of what this process was. Again, it was, in my opinion, a very productive process on a very defined scope to create more public art in downtown Monroe. So the side preview of what we hope to be another future podcast is, now that we had this plan, what happens next?
Sure.
And it's all about the implementation. So we're hoping that in the next podcast, we can invite the city of Farmington and the Farmington DDA back to another episode to talk about how they've taken that plan and run with it.
Is there a way to access that blueprint? Is there a way to get that if you know, someone listens to this podcast and they would like a way to get that, to work on it for their city?
Or? I'm sure that my successor in Farmington, Kate Knight, would be happy to share that blueprint. Okay. Sorry, Kate, for putting that
spot.
Onus on you.
I technically did. I'll take the slack.
You know, the idea is, you know, the idea is sharing, right?
Absolutely.
Because we want all of these communities to sure. be successful. And if this is something that interested them, then I think we want to be able to make sure that their efforts would be as fruitful and productive as the experience was in Farmington.
Absolutely. Well, I definitely learned something.
Well, thank you. Thank you for keeping me on track.
I think you did a fantastic job. And yeah, like I said in the beginning, I knew I would walk away with something that I could carry with me forever. And, you know, this, I know Monroe, this has been a challenge for us. And yeah, I look forward to see how we can implement this.
Yeah, maybe we can make something like that happen here as well. So, but thank you to the listeners out there for tuning in to In My Downtown. We hope to host these podcasts via the Michigan Downtown Association as we learn of the creative and exciting work that all of your communities are doing in your own towns. So thank you, and we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.